Good morning. It is a great morning. It's great to see all of you this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We had a great week with Gage this past week, and I'll tell you, if you missed last week, you certainly missed out. It was very uplifting and encouraging to see those things that we do them for God and we live for Him every day, just how great it is what we can do in His service. We think about, you know, those things that getting to be together, to see one another, to be a part of the body of Christ and all that we get to do and seeing each other, for all that we get to demonstrate toward one another, even those things that we talked about this morning in our Bible class and how great it is to get to be a child of God, thinking about everything that He does for us, all that He provides for us, and everything that we can take advantage of as being children of His. This morning, you think about these Beatitudes that we have been going through and these things that we get to demonstrate. Some of the things I think about, we like to announce birthdays, right? This week, Andrew has a birthday on Tuesday. And Jason Melvin has a birthday on Wednesday this week. And so we get to celebrate those things. We look for those, I hope, those opportunities to be able to reach out to one another. Maybe it's because it gives us an excuse, right, that we don't always get to have. And it's always great when we get to celebrate those things together. We get to look for those opportunities. This afternoon, for instance, we have opportunity to lift up the Long family. Think about Joe and the loss of a child. That's not how those things are. We think about that. That's not how those things are supposed to go, is it? Parents aren't supposed to lose kids. It's supposed to be the kids that are bearing their parents. And so you think about Joe, and I hope that you've been praying for him this week and the things that he is going through and those difficulties he's facing. We have those opportunities to be able to build each other up, be those people that God would have us to be. And as we've gone through looking at what it is to be blessed, what it is to be blessed in service to the Lord and by the Lord in everything that we do, this morning we look here in Matthew 5, verse number 9. And here Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, notice, He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." One of the first things that comes to mind is then that if we are to be peacemakers, what He wants us not to be doing is those that are causing strife. If you'll look with me at Proverbs 17, a couple of verses here that come from the book of Proverbs. The first one here in Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 14. Proverbs 17 and verse 14. Here, the writer says, "The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts." You know, I often think, and Aaron and I have discussed this and talked about this before, where we live, we are 300 feet off the lake. And from the pictures that I've seen and the people that I've talked to, there weren't trees when that lake came in. And I wonder what it was like to stand there at that house and hope that engineer got that right. Because here came all this water. And you watch it as it comes in and it gets closer and it gets closer and it gets closer. And I understand that there's a little bit of a hill there and a slope that you get to look down. It's not as visible because of the tree line and things, but you just hope that person got it right. And those waters, there was no stopping it. Once those gates were opened, it was coming. When we think about what happens, and you think, well, Corey, all they have to do is shut those things off. Notice what the proverb writer says. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. You know, water goes where it wants. And it gets into every nook and cranny. It can fill up the underside of your house. It can, anytime you have a leaky pipe or anything else, water is going to find the easiest route that it can take. And it's going to follow that line. Strife does the same thing. When we try to stir things up, when we try to cause strife and problems for people, it's going to find that easiest way that it can take. And you know, sometimes people know just how to push your buttons, don't they? and to open that up. They know exactly where to push those things. I can tell you that for me, I know with all three of my kids, I know with my wife, I know with my brother and my sister, and a little bit with my parents, but especially with my brother and sister, I knew those buttons. And if I was going to stir them up, I knew exactly what it took and exactly how to do it. And then I could sit back and just kind of watch and see all of it take place and watch all of it happen. Unfortunately, we get to be that way sometimes, even with one another. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. There in verse number 3. Again, we see here it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. And that's where I have to place myself at times when I started pushing the buttons of my brother and my sister. And it was foolish, and it was foolish, because it only got me in trouble, because I was the one that started it, right? Pushing those buttons. It is an honorable thing, notice, to stop striving, to put an end to it. And that's the idea here that we should have. If you look with me at Genesis chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13, we think about two men here that we are very familiar with, in Abraham and Lot. Genesis chapter 13, notice beginning in verse number 6. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is it not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left." And we know exactly where Lot chose to set his tent, right? Gage even spoke of that this past week, of what direction he set his tent. But here, notice Abram. He's tired of the strife, tired of the quarreling. He's going to be an honorable man. He says, "We've got to stop this. This must end. There's not going to be strife between your herdsmen and mine. We are," notice he used the word, "brethren." We're family. There ought not to be this type of attitude between you and I, and between my herdsmen and yours. And here's the honorable thing. So there's not any strife. I'm going to give you the choice. You choose where you want to go. You choose where you want to be. I'll go the opposite direction. You go to the right, I'll go left. You go left, I'll go right. We're not going to have this strife. We're going to end this strife. We're not going to have these problems any longer. And he gives the why. No, it's not the whole land before you. Take your pick where you want to go. I'll go the other way. I want us to be brethren. I want us to be right. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes to Timothy to have him give this same instruction to the church. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." You see that? Remind them, charge them, command them. Don't strive about things that lead to nothing. There's not a reason for it. Go down to verse number 22. "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Flee those youthful lusts." And he gives him what he's supposed to do: pursue righteousness, and do so with those who do the same thing out of a pure heart. Don't get caught up in these things that lead to strife. Don't get caught up in these disputes and quarrels, all of these arguments. Notice they are foolish. Avoid those things. Don't get caught up in that stuff. Don't generate strife. We need to avoid strife. Now, notice he's saying, look, if there's somebody who is doing these things and they are ungodly, then you need to speak to them. He's not telling him to avoid those conversations because they might be uncomfortable. Don't avoid those conversations because that person might get their feelings hurt and then you might have strife. No, you've got to do what's godly. Why? Because they're trapped in the snare of the devil and they're doing his will. You got to get them out of that. There's a responsibility we have then to one another. I don't need to get caught up in foolish disputes. I don't need to argue with you about the things of this world. Maybe we think times, we joke around at times of congregations. My dad likes to say Branson meets at the approved scriptural time because they start Bible class at 9 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock. And I just shake my head. Whatever, Dad, I don't care. You go ahead and start whenever you want. I don't care if you start at 6 o'clock in the morning. You do what you need to do. It makes you feel better. We don't need to get caught up in those things. We don't need to argue about what the thorn in the flesh was for Paul, because the fact of the matter is we don't know. So don't get caught up in foolish disputes. Listen, we don't have to know the writer of the book of Hebrews. We don't have to get caught up in all of these things. You don't have to be a Royals fan. And I don't have to be a Cardinals fan. It's okay if you want to be a Chiefs fan. I'll try not to think less of you. Guys, it doesn't matter. These things are things that don't matter. Are they fun to discuss? Are they fun to rib each other? I root for my home team. You guys root for this other blue team, and they're nowhere around here. You got to travel 1,000 miles to go watch them play. I drive a couple hours. I can go watch my team play. Listen, we get caught up in the foolishness of these things. Don't get caught up in the foolishness. My boss used to tell me, you can't see. Sometimes we get so into these things, and we can't see the forest for the trees. We got to back out of it. Sometimes with our brethren, we got to do the same thing. Paul here says in verse 14, remind them, charge or command them. Don't get caught up in this stuff. Why? Because they lead to strife. And strife is something that when it comes to matters of opinion, we can avoid and should avoid. So what does that mean for me? What should I do? Go with me to Romans 14. You say, well, Corey, we've been having a whole class. Yeah, we did. We had a whole class on this. And we know that we can get into these matters of opinion of whether or not you should eat meat or not, or only eat vegetables or not. I don't care. Verse 3 says that God can make them both stand, meaning that God doesn't care if you want to eat just meat or just vegetables because that's what you choose, because that's what your conscience allows. He doesn't care. Notice what he does expect. Go down here to verse number 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Don't get caught up in these things. That's the therefore. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. This is verse 17. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. That should be my attitude. I don't need to get caught up in these matters of opinion. I don't need to get caught up on this physical stuff. What I need to be doing, what I ought to be doing, and what I'm commanded to do then is, if I'm serving Christ, then first and foremost, I'm going to be acceptable to God. Then I'm also going to be approved by those around me because I'll be doing those things that will make them better and make them stronger. Those are the things that I should be practicing then in my life. And therefore then, verse 19, we pursue those things that make for peace. So there's my focus. There's my goal. I don't need to focus on these things of this life. I need to focus on serving Christ, being approved by God, being approved by my fellow man because of those things. And I'll be pursuing those things that make for peace, so that I can make my brethren stronger. Do you see how verse 19 ends? That we may edify one another. Meaning, I can build you up. I don't know about you. Brad had mentioned it there, but when you watch those young men this morning that's around this table, I was one I hope gave you goosebumps, because it gave me goosebumps. It's exciting to see these young men that have been raised in the church, raised by godly families, to be able to do just what they did, to serve, and be anxious to serve and excited about serving. When you think about the responsibility we have, these young men get up and they pray. And I realize, Ben, I'll put you in the former category of these younger guys, okay? And then you got the older guy with all the gray and everything else that gets to get up here and talk, or try to. We had a track meet last week. I yelled really loud and I think I tore something. But that's why I'm wearing this lapel mic, to try to help myself out a little bit. I'm sucking on cough drops like crazy. These youngers, they get up and they're following the example that has been set for them their whole life. And what they're watching are these men and women, you too, these men that get up here and serve, and these women that, boy, you guys are the best at building us up. I love it. Because what you do is you come by and you give such encouragement and you build us up. And it's a big deal, and it matters, and it means something. It means more than you'll ever know. But watching these young men is a product of the brethren being able to see how they have done so, and they pray such great prayers. One of the things that often is said is we gather with those of like-minded or like precious faith. It is precious. It is precious because it is what bonds us. And it bonds us first to God and then to one another. And we build each other up and we edify one another. We make each other better and stronger for having been here. And it's because of our faith in God and what we seek to do in serving Him. All we want is the absolute best for those around us, especially for our brethren. Keep your finger right here at Romans 14. We're coming back to Romans in just a second. Go to Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12. We're going down to verse number 20. Proverbs 12, verse 20 says, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. But," so here's the contrast, "counselors of peace have joy." And that idea there, counselors of peace, these are people who are helping others around them, building up those around them, helping them to be able not to be deceitful, but instead rather they're helping one another to pursue peace, to pursue that type of joy, to have that, because what they watch, just like what we watch, our young men serve, our children serve, watching and seeing as they do those things that we would have them to do. Go back to Romans chapter 12 this time. Romans chapter 12. Beginning in verse 17, Paul writes, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I'll repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." And we think, well, that guy did me wrong, so I'm going to get him back. No. Do you see that here in verse number 19, Paul writes and he says, there's actually a place for that. The place for that is not yours. It's not with us. That place is with God and God alone. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. You pursue peace. That's your responsibility. And I don't care if that person, as much as depends on you, live peaceably. Pursue that peace with everyone you come into contact with. Now, I can't control what somebody else does, but I can certainly control what I do. I can certainly control my reaction and how I react to those things. And so, if he's thirsty, I don't care if he likes you or not. I don't care if you like him or not. If he's thirsty, you give him a drink. If he's hungry, feed him. Don't try to have this evil for evil type of outlook. Don't have this one-upness of, I'm going to get you worse than you got me, and if you try it again, I'll get you even worse then. That's not how that works. I know a guy one time that he had somebody that made him angry. And he waited until midnight, at its darkest. And he went to that guy's house and he had an 80-pound bag of Quikrete. And he knew right where that guy's septic was. And so he opened up, he got a PVC pipe sticking up. He took the top off of that and he dumped in an 80-pound bag of Quikrete into his septic tank. That'll fix him. A little while later, the guy came into his business. The guy owned a plumbing store. And so that guy came into his business and he had to buy all new plumbing and pipe and everything. He had to have his septic tank torn out and put in a new one because that guy and his 80-pound bag of Quikrete. And that guy smiled to himself and thought, I showed you. And so I asked him a few years later, I said, was it worth it? And he said, I can't sleep at night sometimes knowing what I did to that guy. And so he said, I went by and he said, I didn't write a check because I didn't know, want him to know it was from me, but I put enough money in an envelope to cover what had to be paid because I couldn't live with myself any longer. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bear the guilt. Do you see how sometimes I've got to repay you? I've got to get you back. He said, it ate me alive. He was the one who said, if you read that verse carefully, it says there's a place for that revenge type of attitude. The place is never with man. It's always with God. We can live peaceably. He said, I didn't have to do what I did. And he said, it's eaten at me ever since. Brethren, these are the things that get us down, weigh us down. We don't need to have this type of attitude. We need to be those that try to make peace with everybody. I can control my attitude. I can control myself. I can't control those around me, but I can control me. And I can leave that type of vengeful attitude where it belongs, in the place it belongs, because God says that place is with me. I'll repay. I'll repay. You know, the thing is, and I think about this often, all have sinned and fall short, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, my paycheck for that is death. But I can have eternal life in Christ because of that gift of God. I can have that. So I ought to be those that pursue peace because I want more than anything to have peace with God. And I know that if He gave me what I truly deserve, there's nothing worse than what He could do. But I also know this, that if I'm a child of His and I'm living for Him, there's no greater reward that I could receive. Because you see, here's the results that come. The result, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, pay attention to what Jesus says. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? For they shall be called sons of God. That, brethren, is what we look at to see as a result. I get to be called a son of God. There in Romans, go to chapter 8 for a moment. Romans chapter 8. Back up to verse 16. Romans 8 verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see that word are? Because that's whose possession we are. We are His children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Notice verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I have freedom in Christ. That's where I have freedom. Freedom from all of these other things that I could be facing and going. The wages of sin is eternal condemnation, death. But that gift of God, or free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what I see. I have freedom from all of that. Freedom from everything. In fact, I have, if you look at verse 16, I have the Spirit who knows me. And He's the one who says, you're a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, notice that I'm an heir and a fellow heir with Christ. I don't need to get caught up in all these things that happen. Paul says in verse 18, look, the sufferings of this present world, the sufferings of this life, nothing can compare to what awaits us after this. There's the liberty. There's the freedom in being a child of God. I don't carry any of this stuff. I don't have to get caught up in these things. It's nothing to be compared to the glory that will be revealed, notice, in us as a child of God. That glory, to be glorified with Christ as a fellow heir, a child of God. That's what I get to be. That's the result of those who are seeking to keep the peace. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We went here in our Bible class this morning. Beginning in verse number 1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I am unified in that peace with my brethren. We are unified together as one because what we seek is the best for one another. We walk worthy of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14 says we are called by the gospel. That's that calling that we have that Paul writes about here. Called through the gospel to be children of God, I'm going to be humble, lowly, gentle, bearing with one another. Boy, you guys bear with me. And I'm very thankful for it. We bear with one another. Endeavoring. Here's that pursuit to keep peace with one another, to be unified with one another, and to keep that peace so that we can truly be those children of God and demonstrate it to one another. If you'll look at me one last place, look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want you to think about this and think about you this morning. Are you a child of God? Do you live for Him every day? We think about a child. I have three children. They're mine. They're not yours. They're mine. And I love them dearly, and I'm thankful that you love them dearly as well. And I know there are many of you who have said they're mine as well. Great. If you could help pay the food bill sometime, that would be helpful. If you really want to be theirs, okay? But they're mine, and I love them. You know, God says the same thing about His children. They are mine. You're mine. My possession. You're dear to me. I gave my son for you. I want you to spend eternity with me. So how do I make that happen? Look at verse 26, Galatians chapter 3. For you are. You see that? I love it. You are. There's not any question, any doubt. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And notice the how we got there in verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So now, you don't need to pull out who you are, where you're from, anything about you, because that's what he goes on to say. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's the unity. There's that bond that we have together. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So God says, you know that promise made all the way back here in Genesis? It's still true and holds true today. And you have that through Christ. That's where you are mine, my child, my son, my daughter. You are mine, my possession. And you don't have to get caught up in all the small details of life. What you have to do is you have to demonstrate your faith in me through Christ. And how do I get into Christ? So I'm baptized into Him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It causes us to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. It's a command. John 8 and verse 24. We have that godly sorrow leading to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. It causes us to have that desire to change, to repent of our sin, to do things no longer our way but God's way. Where I confess His name and I'm proud to do so, not only with a mouth to say I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, but also to demonstrate it in my life then and show it. And that's what Jesus expects of us. Matthew 10 and verse 32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And I can be buried with Him in baptism where Revelation 1 and verse 5 tells me that His blood washes away my sin. And I can have all my sin, not some of it, all of my sin forgiven. And I can rise to walk a whole new person in newness of life. And I get to follow Him faithful unto death. That's His expectation. That is what it means to be a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Baptism adds me to the body of Christ, His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. I get to live there. I get to walk there. I get to help others to do the same. I can keep that bond of peace. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, that person that you have the grudge against, you really wish them to spend eternity separated from God? Well, if we're honest, absolutely not. And so if I give vengeance and revenge its place in God and I concentrate on saving their soul, I don't have to worry about how to get somebody back. I don't have to worry and waste my time with those things. Instead, I can focus on what it takes to get them there. And I can control my attitude and I can live peaceably because all I want and desire is the absolute best. It's what God wants for us. But the first person you have to want it for is yourself. And so this morning, if we can help you become a child of God, we're ready to do so. Or as a child of God, if you've given place to the devil and place to revenge, if you've given place to things that don't help with peace, but instead hurt that opportunity, this morning we can help you change that too. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.